Morning, everybody. Am I on? Okay. If you're having trouble hearing on the side, you can always move in a little bit more because the wings, the sound quality is not real good. So you can move in. There's spare tables here. Just before I get to my message, I'd just like to highlight some advance warning for the search course that we're running. Search, Finding Spirituality, Faith, God and the Supernatural. And our aim is that this is a course that you can bring people who wouldn't normally come here on a Sunday morning to come along and in a very informal kind of way explore further about faith, God and the supernatural. And I don't want it just to be information. I want it to be a place where people can actually encounter a living, awesome God. I'll share one story from Sydney. We were just up in Sydney doing some training in prayer ministry and involved with my brother in doing an outreach event. At the training, I talked about the authority of God and the importance of stepping out in faith and using that authority. So I invited two people, or I invited anybody who needed healing in the back and maybe had posture that was out of alignment and hence a leg that would be shorter than the other. So two people happened to volunteer. The first lady we prayed for, her leg that was at a different length, she felt it moving and adjusted. As soon as she stood up, her knee that had been a problem popped and was instantly healed. We prayed for her back was instantly healed. The second one who came forward for prayer, and I had one of those we're training to actually pray the prayer, and his leg was shorter than the other. We prayed and it too began to align equal with the other. He stood up and he said that he had a back that was broken in three places. He had had an accident 10 years previously. He, ever since, had never been able to feel his feet properly. He had pins and needles in his feet. He was on morphine every single day of his life to handle the pain. He was on Valium every night to try and get his muscles to relax so that he could sleep. And he was on Panadeine Forte to try and deal with the migraines that was caused by the levels of pain. The moment we prayed for him, he said, "I can feel my feet. The pins and needles have stopped." And ever since last Sunday, he has had no medication of any kind and has been totally without pain. First time in 10 years without pain. God's good. That's what we're believing that God's going to do for people when they come. Encounter a living God that transforms lives. And we want believers to come to our introductory dinner, but under one condition. You bring someone who wouldn't normally come to a church like this. And if you bring someone, you can bring 10 people, I don't care, bring as many as you like. That's what allows you to come as well, because we want those that have questions and are seeking to be in the majority. There's a bunch of cards on the table just around there. You've got some time. It's in July. But begin to think and talk to some friends and invite them to come along. So that's the search course. Okay. How many of you have ever wondered, what is God like? You know, how do you picture him? Is he like Gordon Ramsay's, you know, Disaster Kitchens or whatever it's called? You know, this cruel, angry, vindictive God. Is that the way you picture God? Or is God like your grandmother? You know, she's sweet, hard of hearing, you know, everyone loves her, she loves everyone, wouldn't hurt anybody, but really, she's not very good at much. Is God like Santa Claus to you? Maybe if you can just be good enough, then you can get what you want. Or maybe you have some entirely different concept and picture of what God is like. Well, many years ago, there was a child that was drawing a picture. And as this child was drawing the picture, the parent came in and said, "Oh, son, what are you painting?" And the son says, "I'm painting a picture of God." And The father said, but no one's ever seen God. And no one knows what he looks like. And the son says, well, they will do once I've finished drawing the picture. So hopefully today you'll get a clearer picture maybe of what God is like. But I'm going to begin with talking about a man in the Bible that was in the Old Testament who more than anyone else was wanting to know God, to see his face, to have an encounter with him. And that man's name was Moses. And he had an experience, an encounter with God at a burning bush, where God appeared in that bush. The bush was on fire, but it didn't burn up. Now, I don't have a burning bush here this morning, so the candle will have to do. And so God revealed himself to Moses and said that he was the God and father of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and that he said his name was the I Am. And the I Am means that God isn't someone who was or will be. In a sense, he's constantly eternal, always the same, never ever changing. And so Moses had this revelation that God was an eternal God. When God said that I heard the cry of my people in Israel, in Egypt, in crying out in slavery, Moses realized that God was a God who cared and wasn't just a God way away in the distance. And so God sent Moses to deliver his people. And Moses got them out of Egypt and crossed the Red Sea. And brought them to the very mountain where the bush had been on fire and God had said would be a sign that one day he would bring his people back to that place. And on that mountain, Moses went up the mountain, met with God. There was thunder, lightning, loud sounds, and Moses went up and listened to God. And God spoke to Moses and told him about 10 commandments that would, in a sense, be the model of holiness, because one of the things Moses had already realized, even at the burning bush, was that the first thing out of God's mouth was, take off your shoes, this is holy ground, don't come any closer. He recognized God was like this holy fire, and before him he was sinful. And so God had given these instructions, these 10 commandments, and most people think that the commandments are something that if you can keep enough of them, then you'll be sort of, you know, good enough for God. But the problem was, even from the very first beginning of giving of the 10 commandments, there was a problem. Because the very first commandment said that you should have no other gods before the true God, and you don't make an image or an idol of this God. And so Moses came down from the mountain. He'd been there about 40 days, and the people had got sick of waiting for Moses and wondering, well, where's this Moses gone? And they decided to take off all their jewelry and make a golden calf, and that became what they declared was the God that brought them out of Egypt. And when Moses came down, he suddenly realized these 10 commandments before he'd even given them to the people that had already broken them. So he realized that God was holy, but against the commandments of God, he suddenly realized these people that are meant to be God's people, that God wanted in relationship, was unholy. And maybe that's happened to you sometimes. You read about God's commandments and you realize, wow, I don't put God above everything else in my life. It says not to steal and about not being dishonest. And suddenly when we measure against God's commandments, we look at our heart and we realize, wow, I've actually blown it. Before a holy God and his standards, I'm not so holy. And I just don't measure up the same. And that's what had happened with the commandments to the people of Israel. But Moses had another revelation out of his conversations with God. And one of those revelations was the fact that because man was sinful, there needed to be a provision to deal with man's sin. And that provision happened to be atonement. Atonement or atoning sacrifice was the concept that you could take a lamb that in every respect outwardly was perfect. And someone who realized against God's Ten Commandments, they'd broken the commandments and they needed mercy because they were under the judgment of God. That they would bring a lamb and they would inspect the lamb and they said, if the lamb was perfect, we'll let the lamb take the sin and judgment that you deserve, and this lamb's life will be given so you can obtain forgiveness and your sin can be covered over. And through that process, people realized the seriousness of sin that had to be judged, that the ultimate penalty of sin was death, and that but through the shedding of that blood, there happened to be a way that sin could be atoned and forgiveness granted. And so Moses began to understand these concepts. And he was still hungry for more of God. He, you know, in a sense, he asked God a question and he said, can I see your glory? Or what does that mean? See your glory is, it's like, God, can I see you for who you really are? Don't just hide and just let me hear your voice. Let me see you in all your majesty and awe. And God said, you can't see my face and live. I mean, that would be like us saying, I want to see the sun in all its magnitude. And we look at our eyes fixed on the sun and we burn our eyes out. It's too glorious. It's too bright. It's too out there compared to us and our eyeballs, physical eyeballs. And God said, I hear your heart, Moses, but you can't see me face to face and live in your human body. But he said, I will do something. I will reveal myself to you and I'll give you a glimpse of me. And one of the children here are going to read that account of Moses having as close as any man in the Old Testament had of being face to face with God. Who's actually nominated for reading this morning? Oh, wonderful. Come on out. Elena, maybe you could hold the microphone just nice and close. I'll let you guys play with that. I'll play with painting.
The Lord said to Moses, chisel out two stone tablets like the first one, and I will write on them the words that were on the first tablets, which you broke. Be ready in the morning and then come up on Mount Sinai. Present yourself to me there on top of the mountain. No one is to come with you or be seen anywhere on the mountain. Not even the flocks and herds may graze in front of the mountain. So Moses chiseled out two stone tablets like the first one and went up to Mount Sinai early in the morning as the Lord had commanded him. As he carried the two stone tablets in his hands, then the Lord came down in the cloud and stood there with him and proclaimed his name, the Lord. And he passed in front of Moses, proclaiming, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion and sin. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children and their children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation. Moses bowed to the ground at once and worshipped.
Wonderful, thank you. Okay, so God gave Moses this almost face-to-face look at him, but revealed his character and who he was and let Moses have just a glimpse of God sort of disappearing into thin air. And as a result of that, Moses' face so shone that when he came down off the mountain, people just, whoa, what's happened to Moses? He had to cover up his face. It just radiated, just even from a glimpse of God's glory. But God revealed himself that he is merciful and forgiving, but he can't just forget about sin. That he still has to judge sin, hold it accountable, but yet he's this compassionate, mercing, forgiving God that has made a way to try and deal with that sin. And that's what he revealed to Moses when Moses was saying, I want to see you face to face. We jump over now into the New Testament, and there's a fulfillment to all of this that actually ties in with Easter. And we have another young person that's going to read the Bible. If you could come out and do that, thank you.
Hello.
I'm reading from Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things and through whom he made the universe.
Okay, thank you. So in the past, God spoke in many different ways through the prophets, through symbolism, pictures, sacrifices. But it said in the New Testament that God had come and spoken in a way that revealed God's glory through Jesus, where he's the exact representation, exact likeness of God himself. And so when Jesus came, when he first began his public ministry and John the Baptist saw him, John the Baptist prophesied out and said, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." See, Jesus came as a lamb, came to be that lamb sacrifice, and he was perfect in every way. He was tempted just as we are, but the Bible says he was without sin. And when Jesus... it's hard to concentrate on two things here. When Jesus was talking with his disciples, he explained to them, he said, "I am the way, the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." And Philip, who was listening to this, he was a bit like Moses. He was someone who was seeking the face of God. He wanted to know God for himself. So he said to Jesus, he said, "Jesus, well, if you will just show us the Father, then that will be enough. You know, then I will have seen God face to face. I'll know who he really is." And Jesus said to him, Philip, you know, "I've been with you all this time. Don't you realize that I am in the Father, the Father is in me. The works I do are the works of the Father. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." And what Jesus was saying is, if you want to see the face of God, Philip, then you need to realize... that Jesus was the full glory, the full radiance of God himself. So it's like, "Philip, you want to see what the Father's like? Look at me. I'm sinless. I have represented the compassion of God, healing people, delivering people, forgiving people. But also, I want you to understand, Philip, that as a holy being, we can't just forget about sin. Something has to happen for sin that of the broken law in our lives to be dealt with." And so Jesus, in a sense, became that Lamb of God. So on the Passover, which is a Jewish form of our Easter, on that Passover, every time, looking back to when they came out of Egypt, they would take a lamb and they would sacrifice that lamb, and the blood would be put on the doorposts of every home, and God's judgment would pass over. When Jesus celebrated that Passover meal, they did not eat a lamb. He took of the bread, he took of the juice, and he changed everything from a Jewish perspective. Instead of being something that looked back to Egypt, where Moses and the power of God brought people out through the sacrifice of a lamb, suddenly Jesus was saying, "This is my body given for you. This is my blood poured out for you. Because in a matter of hours, he was going to be tried and he would be nailed on a cross. He would be sacrificed, in a sense, as the sinless Son of God. Why? Because suddenly, he is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And we can be restored in a relationship with God. Because in our own goodness, we continually fall short of God's standards. And so Jesus, the sinless one, fully reflected God, but more than that, he reflected the nature of God in wanting to be compassionate, but at the same time being so holy they can't just ignore sin. And so the offer that comes out of the Easter message is this. Every single one of us, you measure yourself against God's holy commandments. I know when I've measured against them in my heart, I've broken so many of them. But God makes an offer because of his love and compassion, and he says, you don't have to stand under judgment because of your sin. If you would by faith look to the blood of the Lamb that was shed for you, my Son, that died and rose again. And in that passage from Hebrews, it says that once Jesus had made purification for sin, he was taken up to the right-hand side of the Father. And that's where he is now. But by his Holy Spirit, he says, I want you to know this, to appreciate my Son's sacrifice. And for those of you who have never had, by faith, the cleansing of blood through Jesus' death on the cross, you can be forgiven. And a bit like what David shared earlier, he knew God in a distance. But when he had an encounter with God and his compassion and his love and his warmth, his whole life changed. And that's what's on offer for every single person here, both young people to old people, anyone in between. The best Easter you could ever have would be knowing what the Passover Lamb has done for you to offer you life. I'm just going to pray. I invite everyone to just close your eyes and pray with me. And I'm going to ask a question, first of all, but keep your eyes closed. And this is the question. If you were to stand before God tonight and he was to judge you based on the Ten Commandments, have you put anything else in your life as a higher priority than the God of the universe who created you and gave you breath and existence? Have you reduced him to some image in your mind that's less than what he really is? Have you always honored him in the way you use your time in a week? Have you ever misused his name as something that is unholy when he is holy? Have you always honored your father and mother? Have you always been truthful? Have you held hatred and murderous thoughts in your heart? Have you coveted, been jealous and envious of what someone else has? Have you ever stolen anything? Before a holy God, if you were to stand on the basis of your goodness, how would he have to declare about your sinful state? But Jesus also is wanting you to know that his very last words on the cross were, "It is finished," declaring it's paid in full. If you're willing by faith to accept what Jesus did on the cross, the judgment for your sin has been put on Jesus. You can be forgiven. You can be cleansed. You can be set free. And if you've never known that, then you can pray a prayer just between you and God right now. I'll lead you in that prayer bit by bit. If this is what you want, you follow. You can add your own words in. Just pray it quietly between you and God. Father God, I've seen you clearer today. I can see that you are a holy, righteous God. But against your commandments, I'm unholy. I've sinned and fallen short of your glory. But thank you that you sent your Son Jesus on that very first Easter to die on a cross as a sinless sacrifice for my sin. And then on Easter Sunday morning to raise him to life as a guarantee that we can have resurrection life when we die and live forever with you. Jesus, I believe and I accept your forgiveness. I ask you by your Spirit to wash me clean and give me this new life so that I can learn to follow you. In Jesus' name. Now, without anyone opening their eyes, I know many people in this building have accepted that offer previously, but maybe today, maybe for the first time, or you've been right away from God, you realize today you've had to come back to him. But just between you and God, and I'd love to be able to see, would you just put your hand up and say, yes, I prayed that prayer for the first time, or I've been right away from God, and today I realized I had to pray that afresh and get right with him. If that was you, would you just slip your hand up so I can see it, and then you can put it down again. Thank you. Well done. Is there anyone else? You prayed that prayer for the very first time. Okay, thank you. Let me pray. Father, I just thank you for that young man and his decision today. Lord, you said the angels are rejoicing in heaven when one person acknowledges they're a sinner and they come back to you for forgiveness and mercy. Thank you for that. You are mighty to save. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I'm going to invite the worship team up and we're going to sing a song, an awesome song, Mighty to Save. And if you would like prayer for any reason, one of the things we do every week here is we just have a carpeted area to the side there. If you need prayer for healing, maybe you just want to talk to someone about what you've heard today, you can talk to friends who maybe invited you, or you can come see, a few of us will be over there. Or if you put your hand up and said, hey, I prayed that prayer, or you prayed it and didn't, would like to still talk to someone, then some of us will be over there. You can come see us as we continue in the closing song. Thank you.